Science and the River. 1. Down the dirt track to Lane Cove, the Shipley boys strip off their shirts, jump in the brown river, pedaling imaginary bikes as they fall. Shorts balloon out around skinny brown legs. They come up blowing water out their noses. Bull sharks comes up as far as the weir, so swim on this side. A man was et a month ago. There was all blood in the river. You could see him opening his mouth to shout for help. Only no sound come out because he was only half there. He had no lungs. Their sister smiles as she tells the English kids, white-skinned and fat from 6 weeks on the ship. This a kindness to stop them slipping into salt, thrashing on the surface like fish food. They look at the wide water, grow pink in the sun. Couldn't sharks shimmy over at high tide? Perhaps they'll eat the Shipleys first. Slide down the stone bank, toes sink in mud. Once in, they're forced to swim, soup up to their necks, the smell of all that has lived and died there filling noses and mouths. Kick out, feel the cool of deep underneath. The lazy current tugs at their legs, taking them towards the concrete spillway. Then a clutch that grips and pulls the pale girl down. She opens her mouth, wonders will any sound come out. As her cry bounces from the rocks, the boys surface beside her, white teeth grinning as fiercely as any sharks. 2. There are rocks over the river where lovers go, their bodies absorbing the heat of the day. As the granite absorbs their movements, too giving to graze knees and elbows. Kookaburras scream at goannas that claw up the blue gums, laughter at the coupling in the dappled light below. Or youths will leap with Tarzan yells, hit the water, knees curled to chests, hold their nose if they don't have a girl to impress. Water boils around their point of entry. Who knows what they displace in that consomme? There is a smell of decay from the cold depths. Cicadas sing their love songs, 17 years in the making, as long as these young people have been alive. They were under the ground, dreaming of their day in the sun. Now their perfect shells are picked and slipped between burnt skin and cotton bras to scratch the girls. Their cry is a brief sound and flurry as time passes. The flow moves slow and heavy, past the passion and the posturing. It has always been so, despite the weir, below which the burrowing of industry is now only seen in bubbles that come to the surface as though a submarine monster turns over and belches. Above on the shelf, bodies still press with urgency. Sometimes a girl will look past the shoulders above her to see ghostly hands, negative images, blown onto the rock ochre almost faded out, still held up as though in horror at the desecration. 3. They lie here so tidy on the towpath, his trousers folded and placed on his buttocks. A carpet square covers his shirt. A pair of shoes sits on the black mud. She sleeps on her back, arm shielding breasts. Her dress has been pulled down, decorous, its red and green sprigs a-blossoming, just a small bruise on her nose. Opened-out beer cartons make a blanket against the mist rolling up and over. They are apart some 40 meters, yet they are linked forever. There was a coupling, a small death made a stain on his coat. After the cocktail party, they fled onions on sticks and what's your poison, lay down in the cool and saw the New Year in. Now divers go down in the green and brown, looking for vials to give a clue. No spider bite marks, no trace of aphrodisiacs or hallucinogens from the Amazon, yet they were sick and moved apart to let the larger death have its way. North Shore matrons devour details as the papers make salacious war. Wife-swapping spies and CSIRO secrets sold behind the Iron Curtain. And the river flows by Lane Cove long after the bodies are gone. Children point to where they were, in hollows just above the mangroves, and imagine what the greyhound trainer saw in the half-light before dawn. No clues, no evidence, except paintwork peeling off riverfront houses, fish floating belly up, eels leaping the weir, not to escape bull sharks, but to reach fresh water, where the stench and bubbles from the flour and starch factory pipe could not explode after summer rains flushed out the sewers and sent their gas to mingle with the mangroves' exhalations. Heaviest in the depression where they lay on that cool night, thoughts of children and partners evaporating in the mist. Silent, invisible, they breathed it in, and their blood turned purple, while their cry gave voice to a dying river. 4. Breath catches in her throat as she runs along the towpath. Night is coming on, the bodies have gone, but nobody ever caught anyone. The science teacher kept her in to prove a point. Homework must be done on time, or you will stay here and write about combustible gas and miss your lift and have no money for the bus. And walk alone past the houses with peeling paint. No parties now, pools filled with dead leaves, lights on the water deceptive as the mist begins to rise. The mangroves know, but they're not telling. Crouching low in the mud, at least the tide's out, not lapping at her feet as she makes herself walk carefully across the weir. Sharks don't come up in winter, the Shipley boys said. It's just one of many dangers here, across the park, past the wading pool, no picnickers now, no lovers on the rocks, no burning sun to make skin bubble and come off in parchment strips. The track is hidden in black shadows as she climbs up and up until the lights of the camp give hope, and she will reach what she thinks of as safety, and science can carry on its cold analysis.